we're at this point now where the real automation is going to start kicking in. So I don't think we're going to see disruption in the form of people being taken out of the equation. We're going to see the number of units that a person can manage exponentially increasing, hopefully exponentially. At a minimum, there'll be significant gains. And I think we'll start seeing that now. I can see it from the things we're working on where we're already looking at workflow and automation as a cornerstone of our product strategies. And that's where we'll start to see the real gain. It's going to be the ability to do the tasks you need to do. Maybe they won't be automated, but they'll be 80% automated.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking, and strategies to elevate your results. For more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier for your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. And to get new episodes of Elevate directly to your inbox, sign up at eliteagent.com/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, everyone, it's Sam here. Today we're joined by Mark Cohen, Vice President of Product for Asia Pacific at MRI Software. Mark brings an impressive track record as an innovation leader in Australia's technology sector, having previously served as CTO and CIO at Domain and GM of Product Solutions at Fairfax. He has been at the forefront of digital transformation in the property sector, helping real estate professionals across Asia-Pac modernize their operations and leverage technology. He's particularly passionate about putting customers first and building solutions that solve real-world problems. So today we're diving into solutions for where property technology is heading, how AI is impacting real estate, and what agents need to know to stay ahead of the curve. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Mark Cohen.
Thanks, Sam. Great to be joining you.
It's actually wonderful to see you again. I think the last time we were face-to-face like this might have been about 10 years ago when we did that Domain roundtable called Are You Ready for 2020? So first of all, can I say, you don't look like that was 10 years ago. And you haven't aged a day. And the second thing is, how smart were we trying to predict 2020?
Yeah, it was a little bit left field bit.
No one could have predicted what actually happened. But in preparing for this interview, I did go back over some of the old things that we said. And you know what? I think we weren't too far off the mark in quite a few of those things 10 years ago. Particularly, I think one of our predictions was that a true industry disruptor would not include any of the self-titled disruptors, because back then it was all about purple bricks and Uber of real estate.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there was that idea that if you unbundled stuff, then you were a disruptor too. So let me ask you this. Now, is AI going to be the disruptor?
It's such an interesting question, because the rate of change has accelerated exponentially, and the things that we're seeing emerging back then, probably even before we spoke in those days, I remember hearing Nigel Dalton talking once when he was still at REA, and he spoke about in the future potentially having the platform would connect the home seekers and the home sellers without necessarily needing a search and a browse and wading through and saying, oh, that's the thing I'm interested in. And we saw a concept demonstrated by Puya Nasgari from Domain fairly recently, where they were playing with GPT models and very close to what Nigel was envisioning back then. So I can see how we are heading in that direction. I think that the short term, it's more about these really smart AI tools are doing amazing automations. Like, we've got a feature that's about to ship for one of our CRM systems where we are doing, the agents will write a description of a property and the AI will then say, these are features that I've seen in the photos that haven't been mentioned. Would you like to tag it as having wooden floorboards or granite countertops? So it's starting to become very assistive in the way it's working. And I'm really, really interested and excited when they talk about agentic AI. So the AI being able to be an agent and to react, not just me prompted and then it does something, but to be kind of an observer, an agent that you interact with, or it sees something happens and it can stop and pause and look at which action would most likely solve a problem. So I think we're just at this cusp, this tipping point now where the real value and the real automation is about to start pouring down on us in a great avalanche.
Yeah, I sort of feel like 2023 and 2024 in the world of AI has been interesting, and we've been on this crazy curve of innovation and things like that. And 2 years ago, I couldn't have imagined something like Sora.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, generating video and stuff like that. It's probably a bit early to talk predictions again, but heck, let's go anyway. What do you think we'll see in addition to what you just talked? Because that's amazing. Talked about the property industry.
It's so hard to answer that question because the truth is the faster the rate of change, the less certainty that we can speak with. I think what we will see in the very short term is the fundamental unit of measure is going to be, so if you're looking at property management, it might be properties under management per manager. And there's a data point from Chris Mercer, which he's often spoken about how fundamentally over the last, I forget the time period he uses, but you'll talk about say 10 or 20 years, we haven't really seen a very positive increase in the number of units under management per employee. And there's reasons why, because as soon as tech has contributed, a lot of that contribution has been eaten up by overhead of compliance and so on. But we're at this point now where the real automation is going to start kicking in. So I don't think we're going to see disruption in the form of people being taken out of the equation. We're going to see the number of units that a person can manage exponentially increasing, hopefully exponentially. At a minimum, there'll be significant gains. And I think we'll start seeing that now. I can see it from the things we're working on where we're already looking at workflow and automation as a cornerstone of our product strategies. And that's where we'll start to see the real gain. It's going to be the ability to do the tasks you need to do. Maybe they won't be automated, but they'll be 80% automated. So the AI will draft a response, you'll review and click send. So it will save you 45 seconds out of a minute, but that incrementally will add up. And I think we'll start seeing that happening a whole lot now. So the short term, we'll see that. The longer term, we'll start seeing more of the decision-making, let's call it, being handled automatically. So actually taking an action. And that's where the disruption will already kick in. So I don't think it's in the very, very short term. I think it's more a few years after when we'll start seeing these things show up.
Yeah. Have you seen any of your clients that you would consider sort of trailblazers who are already sort of really transforming how they operate, really giving benefits to consumers, that sort of thing?
There's the voice of the property manager reports that gets done by the MRI team. And I don't want to quote the numbers because I'm going to get them wrong, but there were two questions asked. The first one was, who's actually using AI already? And it was an alarmingly high number. It was way higher than we expected. And most of it is people that are using things like ChatGPT to do their drafting for them and, you know, super easy things. So the embracing of those tools is already happening. And that's kind of just generic tools. But we're seeing a lot of point solutions emerging as well, which we always have seen increasingly AI enabled now as well, though. So we'll provide like the core systems that a business runs on would be an MRI trust accounting solution, whether it's in sales or in property management. But then they'll have all these solutions that sit around the periphery and integrate. And we're seeing that through our partner channel, which is why it's top of mind for me. And they will interact with our products using an API and do some really cool stuff, often using AI to assist in the chatbot. One is the one that's top of mind for me because it's something that seems to be growing quite well. And so, yes, 100%, we're starting to see the uptake of tools. The decision-making around which tools to take up is almost always geared around, does this automate part of my job for me? Does it make it easier to do my job? So if I was advising a partner, it wouldn't be about the disruption so much as the helping the businesses scale. And it was really put well by a sales agent we spoke with in Melbourne quite recently at an event we had. And he said, look, it's great. We spoke through roadmaps and what we're working on. He said, that's all great. But fundamentally, what it all boils down to for him as the customer is he wants us to help him lower the cost of doing business. His transacting cost was the way he put it. And this is where these tools kick in. So the focus for if you want to succeed as a partner or if you want to succeed with a point solution is how does it drop the cost of doing business for the client and work backwards from there? So yeah, definitely. We're seeing not only products entering, but we're actually seeing a lot of appetite from the customers for the solutions as well, which I find interesting now. Yeah,
for sure. I mean, I talk to property managers, I talk to sales agents, and one of the things that I've sort of heard more and more over the last couple of years is we're drowning in different systems, we're drowning in spreadsheets, we're drowning in different sources of data. And often, as you said, that actually makes it harder to do their job because they're pulling data from all these places. How are you seeing some of the smartest agencies solve challenges like that one?
We had our MRI Ascend, our customer conference earlier this year. And just before the event, I did a bit of research. I was trying to position how we talk about our platform. And so we did a bit of research and I did a poll and found that 1 in 3 of the respondents indicated that they manually double enter system data. So they'll enter whatever the data happens to be in one system, and then they'll go to another system and re-enter it. And there's at least 7 systems in use, can be higher, depending on whether it's commercial or residential, not counting things like Outlook. So not counting your office productivity, but actual property management solutions, they'll typically be north of 10 in a residential business and north of 7 in a commercial business. And 1/3 are double entering. So there's a huge burden there. How we're looking at that is we have, I'm going to talk a little bit about our platform strategy, which is what this was research was the lead in for. We have in market right now 4 CRM systems. And each of the customers who chose one of those sales CRMs loves it for a reason. They looked at the time when they chose it, the systems might have actually been competitors in the market because they're all acquisitions. So they've chosen a particular product because they love it. We want to keep the product in market because the customers chose it and love it. How do you solve the problem then of having disparate rental and property sales and whatever other systems you're working on? And the way we're looking at solving is it's all about products in market, but platform that underpins it. And you'll hear MRI people talk about MRI Agora, which is the brand name that we're applying to our platform strategy. Agora in itself is not a product that someone buys. It's kind of the foundation that we're building on top of. So all our products will increasingly incorporate. It applies to simple things like look and feel. It applies to how we handle data and the MRI Agora Insights product.
There seems to me to be a worry out there that technology might make real estate less personal. But from what I've read, you see that differently. How does good tech actually free agents to give better service?
It kind of goes back to what I was talking about before. If we can free an agent up from the repetitive tasks that don't really require a human interaction, the real value that agents create, actually, you mentioned it before when we spoke about, you know, when Purple Bricks tried to come into the market here and it didn't work so well, especially so for Australia and New Zealand. Our market is, I mean, if you buy a house in Australia, it is in all likelihood going to be the single biggest transaction you commit to in your life. It is a hugely emotional thing. And the value that agents create is in that human interaction. So the way we kind of look at it is we want to be the technology behind the scenes that puts the agent in the front or the property manager in the front so that the interactions are very human. And we want to take the stuff that's not human. And that's exactly where we want to try and solve problems with tools like AI and tools like even just normal system work to automate things out of existence so that your dollar productive hours are really spent in front of a customer. And that is kind of the fundamental driver of what we're trying to do. The more that you are talking to your customer, your buyer, your seller, your prospect, the more likely you are to have a happy transaction for everyone who's involved.
Yeah, actually, I like that. The more you're sort of talking to people, the happier that they'll be. Actually, maybe that's the case with some people, but it is the case with most. Anyway, you touched on it, but I'm interested to know, you mentioned Agora, which I have to confess, I don't know too much about it, but I'm hearing a lot about it now. So what was the aha moment that made you think, this is it, this is the solution that we're going to go all in on for underpinning everything at MRI?
If you think of MRI as a business, we're an acquisitive business. We buy software, we buy other businesses, and then we try and join them up to our ecosystem. So the problems we're solving internally are kind of a microcosm of what the ecosystem, the PropTech ecosystem more broadly is experiencing or doing. And that problem I just described where customers will choose the product they like for a very valid reason. We don't want to lose that. That's the reason we bought that business. But how do we then create some kind of economy of scale internally and make it more beneficial to the customer that that product is now part of our ecosystem than if it was standalone? Now, if we solve that ecosystem problem internally, why can we not solve it externally? And the approach is pretty much we create the platform, we build APIs to allow our integrations, we create whatever infrastructure we need to be open and connected, which you often hear MRI talk about. Then there's no limit to say this has to be an internal thing. So step one is we solve our problem internally. Step two, which we're already doing, is we open up a lot of this integration capacity, capability to partners. And step three, the ideal world, we open up to the whole world. So everything can fit together. If you're building a prop tech, we want you to be using some of our APIs and integrating with us. And then how we do those connections, it works in different levels. So the best real-time example is Box and Dice agent is using their app and is at an open for inspection, signs in a visitor, and it tells them in the app, at that point, you are talking to someone who has 4 investment properties that you manage. That's so valuable to an agent compared to this person's just blowing off the street, who's kicking the tires and is probably not going to buy. So to be able to qualify real time. The second thing is taking all of business data and creating insights and dashboards and KPIs and metrics. And we've got all of that as well. And then the third one is how you use those connectivity points to talk to potentially partners. I've got a smoke alarm that's due for a renewal, for an inspection. How can I automate that? And that's where we're doing work as well. So it's kind of, we're trying to build an ecosystem that is open to everyone. But instead of boiling the ocean, we solve the problems internally and then scale up. So Agora really is that layer. It's the foundation stones. The analogy we use that our marketing team in the US came up with is they talk about the prop tech world is what we talk about as sunshine falls, which is an analogy of everyone's happy and sunshine falls and everything just works. And then all of the products we have would be the buildings, but the bedrock and the plumbing, the water flows, the reticulation networks, the piping, the electricity grid, that's the platform, that's Agora. And it connects everything together and makes it all work together.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. So I can imagine if I was a sales agent and I'd just been sort of notified that a buyer that's just walked in is, we've wanted that sort of rich data for years, and that's a great example. Do you have any other examples of how having your data in one place can benefit both sales agents and property managers? Like, what are some of the other use cases that you're working on?
There's some super simple ones, and often the simple ones are the ones that have got a lot of value. Now, a good one that actually came out of, I can't remember which product off the top of my head now, but the idea was that you have a property manager who looks after a property. The landlord contacts a property manager to organize an inspection for a sales inspection. Now, if this property manager is in your agency and the landlord's about to sell, you would want to know, because you're going to lose the management anyway. Wouldn't you rather handle the sale? So that connectivity from the property manager to be able to click a button inside of Property Tree and alert the sales team, this house is booked for an evaluation. You want to touch base with the landlord. So that's another super simple one where the data creates that kind of value. One of the ones which I really enjoy is the revenue projections. So we look at, for an agency or for a group of offices, what does your pipeline look like and what's your revenue projections for next year? And then we can overlay KPIs. So we can start saying, who's making calls, who's not making calls, what's the revenue projection look like, and what. You can connect all the activity and create an all-of-agency dashboard or a war board where you can say, how are we doing, who's doing well, who's not doing well, where do we need to get more involved, who can I leave alone because they're doing well. So it's the aggregate data is the one that I find really interesting as well.
Yeah, it is a fascinating space. And I mean, I guess just one other question on that. For agents who might be sort of intimidated by all of this technology talk and talk of big data and data lakes and things like that, what would you tell them rather that would make them comfortable that they've got access to this stuff too? Like, you don't have to be so incredibly technical to understand it all to be able to benefit from it. I don't know if I'm making myself clear on that one, but I do think that there's a lot of fear factor out there that I'm not tech savvy or I'm this or I'm not that. How do I benefit from all this stuff?
So I'm not that involved in the, call it the sales cycle, but often with the customers who onboarded and we have user groups or customer advisory boards, I'll often get the luxury honor of talking to customers and what's going well and what's not going well. And I'll often ask them both those questions. And I do find that many of our customers, especially the smaller businesses that don't have internal IT or don't have that kind of capacity, they will look to us for guidance as well. And one of the things that MRI has done really well, and you know, all credit to David Bowie, my boss, is he's positioned MRI as a trusted advisor with the customers. So they do come to us to ask those questions. And we will try and give that advice where we can. I like to give that advice because I'm not a sales guy. So if I'm talking to a customer, it's going to be purely from the lens of what works in product or what is the tech actually going to do for you. And I think I find conversations with customers, they'll often appreciate that as well. So I do love that. How do they benefit from it? I think once a customer is using a product of ours and we introduce new features, we do try and do training or webinars, or, you know, we try and do the knowledge sharing to enable the adoption of new things. Is often the challenge is changing the way you work. So often it's like, I have to use a new tool now. So there's an overhead to get over the hump before it's going to add value. And that's where we'll try and work really closely with people to, let's say, drive adoption.
Yeah. So I see you on LinkedIn. You're asked to be on a lot of panels. You're always speaking somewhere, and like obviously you're considered a thought leader in the space. What are some other sort of prop tech solutions that you've seen out there that we should keep an eye on?
Nothing's popping into my mind right now. I do like to go to the shows and see when people have things that are interesting to show. The one thing which I think is going to start showing up and adding a lot of value in the, not in the individual units, like a secondhand home kind of sales, but in the development and in the commercial side, I saw a really good demo of a technology that was using the digital twin concept, which it's kind of not that new now, but once you start bringing in the technology that it can make decisions and you can start visualizing things, once we've got all this data and the AI and the machine learning happening. The one example I saw was a 3D model of a building that was quite new, and it was a building in the city, and an aircon unit had started to vibrate in a way that didn't make sense. So a sensor had done anomaly detection and picked it up and was highlighting maintenance job due on the 15th floor in this building, and you see it in 3D. That whole visualization and that whole use of the digital twin, which in itself is not really a commercial product, it's an assistive technology, it's not a product really in its own right, I think is fascinating. And then we've been looking at a few of the things that you would bundle into a, say you are building a new development and you wanted to start using some of the more interesting tech, where there's small businesses that you wouldn't necessarily sign up with if you were a large company because of the risk. And we're looking at how we might bundle some of those things. OCR, cameras reading number plates so you don't have to have remotes to open garages anymore. There's so much new tech like that that's starting to emerge. And there are, as I said before, point solutions. And I do see you don't really want to buy 400-point solutions, but if we can craft something where we can work with these kind of people and create an offering that's more consolidated, I think there's opportunity there as well. So there's so much going on, but a lot of it is really in small solutions right now.
Yeah. I was just thinking, with the digital twin concept, do you think we're far off seeing that in residential real estate? Because I've got an air conditioner up here, which you can probably hear. I'm thinking, why hasn't the property manager sort of thought, that's 30 years old, it needs to be replaced?
I think we will start seeing increasingly, you will start seeing the stuff show up. There was, in a sense, a barrier to entry in terms of cost of deploying the solutions. And I think that is really drastically dropping at the moment. So right now it makes sense in commercial. We've actually got a product that we sell overseas, which ties in really beautifully with this, which is, we don't sell it in Australia, but it's a footfall analytics. It's an on-location footfall, I think is what they call it. And the product will use cameras and recognize a person in a building or in a shopping center in a multi-story building. And then imagine if you can put it into 3D and you're trying to work out the utilization of your space and which spaces are worth more or less. And you can show how people typically come up that escalator, they dwell at that window, they walk to that corner, and then they go to the food court. Like, to visualize that in 3D is great, but you can actually track the individuals as well, which is borderline creepy. I'm not sure how that would translate in the real world if people knew that you were tracking them by their face, but it's possible now. And then tying it all into 3D, but I digress. But the sensors themselves are now becoming more mainstream, and the cameras that do this stuff used to be investing in fantastically expensive equipment. Now it's stuff that you can buy on Amazon for a few hundred bucks. So it's definitely going to start making its way downstream into maybe large developments built to rent and things like that. You'll definitely start seeing a hard cash saving over a period of time where you might not have to do monthly inspections on something because it will let you know when something's about to break. So you can actually, your units under management, your tasks per employee, you can actually start to expand by making some of them automate themselves out of existence.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah, I think we'll start seeing it come down to the residential side.
Yeah, it'll send all the data to Agora and then it'll pop up on like Property Tree or something like that to say,
yeah, book your maintenance job here. We're in the process of rolling this thing on now. Can you start talking about the new tech? We have a product called SecureSign, which is, it's a digital signing solution, which there's tons of. But what makes this one different is a couple of things. The one that I get excited about is if you receive a contract and you digitally sign it. So let me give you a real world example. You are selling a house and you are working with a small agency. They happen to be on Vault. So the Vault guys send you a marketing schedule. You'll receive it with SecureSign. This will be in market next year. he happens to now be off maybe looking at Agora Insights, doing his management of his business, or he's off in Property Tree looking at something there. But because of the unified platform, he will get a message in whichever system he's in when you sign the contract saying, Sam's marketing contract has been signed and it is now in Vault waiting for you to take action to kick off the campaign. And he can immediately jump back in. So it's that wherever you are, we can tell you it's ready for you and you can jump straight back in and it's all seamless. So you don't now have to go exit a system, sign into another system and pick up. You click it, you keep going, and then you go back to where you were. And so, yeah, I get excited about that real removal of friction in work.
Yeah, that sounds super clever because I'm not even going to tell you how many tabs I've got open at the moment. But, you know, I'm sure I'm not, you know, an island in that.
You're not alone. Yeah.
Yeah. Just one more sort of area that I had jotted down to talk to you about is seems to be have gathered some real steam since COP29 and other things is sustainability in real estate. And now we're hearing things like CoreLogic have just put some numbers out saying that newer builds are twice as energy efficient as older builds. There's a lot of noise around ongoing running costs of these older builds and things within them. And there's all the talk about the Paris Treaty and stuff like that. I mean, it goes on and on and on. I've heard now that banks are going to be lowering interest rates for people that are building more energy efficient homes. You must be seeing all of this up close and personal. What are consumers actually demanding at the moment? What are real estate agents saying about this stuff?
The nature of the products that we have in market is we're more on the receiving end. So we'll track an energy rating, but we're not actually guiding the energy ratings yet. There is a bit of demand and it's more on the commercial side that we're seeing it as well. It's the scope 2 energy tracking and reporting where companies have got an ESG obligation and they want to be able to report on their carbon footprint. So we're hearing more on that side. On the residential side, we are offering the ability for properties to be so you can put the ratings in and so on, but we're not actually doing anything in the space yet to drive the positive change, which is something, it's definitely an area that there's potential for investments in the next year or so.
Yeah, I sort of think it's all of a sudden, you know, like I remember thinking back in 2017, this has got to be an area of concern for agents, and I was wrong, I was too early. But I definitely think that 2025 is the year that this starts making a few more headlines in real estate. Okay, so I've got 3 rapid-fire questions for you to end with. So I just want you to say the first thing that comes into your head, and I know that's going to be hard because there's a very big brain over that side of the podcast studio, but here are my 3 questions. Question number 1, what excites you most about where property technology is heading?
The rate of change is just accelerating, which I love the unknowns, the ability. We're going to find ourselves in a world very soon where we can create solutions to problems really, really quickly compared to what we can do today. The need to create things from the ground up is just disappearing. Part of it is what we're doing with platform, but a lot of it is the emerging tech as well. And I think that excites me that we're finally going to find ourselves in a world where we can get ahead of the requirements instead of being following them, being behind them. And I do find that's a little bit of an abstract answer, but I love that.
Yeah, it is. I often say to people, what a time to be alive. Okay, question 2. If you were a real estate agent today, what 3 technology skills would you make sure you had?
Oof, that's a good question. The ability to understand data, is that a tech skill?
Yes.
The ability to play with a tool, even if you're not coding, but the ability to work with a visualization tool and to play with data, first and foremost. The present digital tech, just working in a browser. So the ability to create presentations, to do digital proposals, to work in emails and drive your business from a browser. If you're not already 100% in the cloud, I would be trying to understand how to get there. I think that's probably even too late. And the third one, mobile first everything. Most of the agents I know can run their business or do most of the day from their mobile phone. There's a whole lot of things that you could understand about how to, you can create PDFs by printing from your phone. Like, you know, what are the hacks you could do to not even need your desktop? So in your car between appraisals or whatever, you can do everything.
Yeah. I would need extra strength glasses for that, but you're right. Okay, question number 3. So we talked about some of the big trends that are on the agenda, but what is one underrated trend or opportunity that agents should be paying attention to?
That is a difficult question.
I only ask the difficult questions to smart people. Yeah. So
it's not underrated. I think everyone knows, or at least is wary of how big a thing it is. But there's a fundamental change in AI where we went from what we used to call AI to the generative AI, which is what we have now. And I think the trend that's going to come out of that, the ability to create fundamentally new ways of doing things, is going to be interesting. And that's one to watch. So it's not just AI, but it's specifically the ability for AI to be generative that's going to change the way we're using it and shorten the cycle of solving problems as well. Definitely a trend I'd watch.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such an interesting space. Okay, well, be relieved. Those three hard questions are over. And I'd like to thank you for joining me on the podcast. It's been a fascinating chat, and we shouldn't wait 10 years for our next catch-up.
Yeah, it's been great to chat.
Yeah, I just want to thank you for sharing your wisdom and some insights into 2025. If there was one thing or one point that you'd like to leave everyone with today, what would it be?
Just to enjoy the ride. It's actually even one of our company values. Things are going to be interesting and unexpected. Things are going to happen. But it's a great industry. I left the industry briefly. I came back. We're so lucky to work in this space. We work in something that's valued and important to Australia in general and so important to everyone's lives. We're all lucky to be here. Enjoy it.
Yeah, amazing. Mark Cohen, thank you so much.
Thanks, Sam.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Elevate Podcast with thanks to Connect Now. To stay in touch with all things Elite Agent, sign up for our daily newsletter, The Brief, at eliteagent.com/subscribe.